$50.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Then I'll call to order the meeting of the planning commission for Monday, November 24th. Jamie, could you please call the roll?
Yes, Commissioner Jensen. Commissioner Tuttle. Commissioner Bobble.
Here.
Commissioner Christensen.
Present.
Commissioner Stamer.
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood.
Here.
Commissioner Gibson.
And we want to go Commissioner Gibson and go back to that. Thank you, Tina. There's time we set aside for comments from citizens. Since we don't have any citizens to talk in tonight, we'll move on to the approval of minutes. I have a note from Tina that says the minutes are done, but they're not in our fashion for tonight. And they'll be made available after.
I read them online.
Oh, okay.
I have some.
What, it doesn't give a date here, Tina? Was it today? Today, are we supposed to be online or?
We went online this morning.
Okay.
You want copies, paper copies?
Yeah, there's a paper, oh, there's a paper copy here.
Yeah, that's where we need those other packets last week.
Give it a chance to stay.
Maybe a couple.
Okay.
I have some problems with it because if you look on here on the H2, 4, where it says,
Bill and Mike were at their joint meeting on the 13th, a week ago Thursday, and we spent some time going through these exercises. We had some really good conversations going on that night. What I was hoping to do tonight, if we're up for it, is to go back and try and pick up anything that we missed in that meeting. I know you were all working on different portions of these, or everybody started at a different point. But I'd like to go back and quickly go through these, and if you haven't rated, say, Fryland's, for instance, in this case, to do some quick exercises to rate these sheets that you have not done at this point, so we have more of a complete set. My intent being that, you know, who filled out the Fryland's at the joint meeting? Jeff?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think
it was the first day.
I did it again.
If we can take, I don't know, not a lot of time to try and catch up on each of these and get some new ratings, I might do that. I guess open up for some discussion. What I'd like to do is fairly quickly work through these in terms of rating the policies on the upper left, thumbs up, thumbs down, no opinion, and the policies on the right, on the top half of the page, and then doing the same with the program down below, and coming up with a overall rating in the, like in the center of the page, 1 through 10, that determines how aggressive we should be in pursuing these programs and policies. Fryland's was one of the meetings that I think had some interest, some value in promoting. The Fryland's triangle, look for a laser. The Fryland's triangle really goes from Lake Tie all the way east to 179th, takes it in the hospital area. And then, you know, the industrial parks in between.
The purple area, they were not including the housing, they were just including the business park and what they called the Fryland's triangle.
That entire triangle goes all the way past just east of 179th.
Okay.
That's the district that we're talking about.
Did you want, I mean, each individually of us doing something, or did you want more of a collective thing that would be that you might compile into one instance of?
I think we can do an individual. We can talk about it for a few minutes and then maybe quickly do some rating that we can then take from this meeting. And we have six of these, so we don't want to spend a lot of time on each page, but nonetheless, so you have done. We just have two folks that have done Fryland's.
I'm not sure of the procedure of how it was to go through this. If you could explain it to me.
Okay.
Because I've not gone and done it.
Right.
So.
Right.
Well, I know that I'm not really sure what the work is for.
Yeah. When we were talking about Fryland's, it really has to do with, I think
what he's trying to understand is not the Fryland's. This form, it starts with a description in the middle top of what the area is, which he's described that triangle in this case on page one. Then on the two sides in the upper corner, the mild side would be taking policies that are fairly close to what's in going on today. The maximum would be making drastic, potentially drastic changes or
such to the policies from today. So that kind of, when you read these types of policies under mild, be thinking, or that's trying to describe things more status quo and is on the right, more something that would be really significant in the changes or policies or how we view that area. Then you drop down to the lower corners, and this had to do with specific programs that could be applied to these policies up above, again on the mild side and the maximum side. Then you're supposed to come into the middle, and anything you put with a question mark or ambivalent, you would write into the middle explanations of what you had done around these sides in this middle section, both for policy notes and program notes. Mm-hmm. And then you finished in this middle strip by weighing how much effort or approach, but giving it a score of, you know, how much weight to give these policies or program approach versus other policies that might exist not on this page. Trying to weigh it in its importance of what you've defined here. And when we sat at the tables and did it, it seemed like people would generally either swing down one side or swing down the other side. It really didn't seem like it fit to kind of go down both, because usually if you felt like things should stay status quo, then usually everything over here is going to be don't do it, and everything over here is going to be do it. Mm-hmm. Or flip side, if you think things should change, you're going to go down the right-hand side and not down the left. That's the experience I felt at the meeting, and as I recall him describing what these forms were and how to fill them out.
Okay, these were done as teams.
We have two or three people. Yeah.
Right. So we had a chance to have a discussion as to why we felt this way or felt this way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I feel a little bit out of place by saying, okay, as an individual now, would you do this? Okay, I don't have a chance to, you know, toss an idea one way or the other. So I feel like I'm a little out of line. I could do it by myself. Don't get me wrong. But I just don't have a chance to bounce my ideas off to somebody else at the same time. Paul, do you understand
what I'm saying? Yeah, I can understand that. And it's difficult to do this out of context now without there was a PowerPoint that brought us up to speed. And then we spent most of the meeting on these six sheets.
Yeah.
Have they given you any synopsis back yet that we can work on that gives a general support or lack of support for the policies and programs, etc.?
No, but I meant to bring it, I can run back and get it. The tally sheet that we have so far. Maybe just hold it up as to what the where these things are falling. I went to the park board last week and did the similar exercise to flush out the remaining sheets. And you know, what we may do is come to a general agreement on how to rate these things.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Why don't we just do one form that you make the marks
sure.
on and we talk about.
Sure, we can do that. That would be a fair representation, I think. And if there's some differences in someone's mind that the group is going, you know, six and seven, do you think it should be, you know, six for policy, seven
then
for program? If you think it should be eight and nine, then well, by all means, speak up. But let me run and get that sheet that shows the results so far. Be right back.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. John, did the meeting at the school, did they go through all of these sheets?
No. Not as a presentation. It was, they kind of described them, I think, what the regions were, but then they let each group just say, and they knew each group probably wouldn't have time to do all of them.
Yeah.
But they said, you know, if there's ones that...
Just pick three.
Yeah, pick the ones that really, you know, you're passionate about or something. And I think as a result, they got a lot of right side things, because that's what people went to first.
And how long did we go to those three?
Well, the whole meeting was 2 hours, but we only had about an hour, a little bit more.
Remember, this presentation being pretty long.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't...
It seemed like it took almost...
It still wasn't enough time to...
I'll give you a preview. This is 1 through 10. This being mild policy programs, which is, like Steve says, basically the status quo. And the maximum, the right side of the sheet is over here. And in some cases, there's not much difference between mild and maximum on specific policies or programs. But for the most part, there are some differences. So we're kind of all over the board here. The black is from the night of the meeting. Freiland's is these first two lines. Policies being the top, programs being the lower part. There's a cluster here around 7 and 8. There's a cluster here around 3 and 4. The red is the park board. The black is the from the joint meeting. So there's kind of like two camps here. But more of the park board members wanted to give more emphasis to other parts of this exercise. This was not as high of a priority. Others rated it fairly high. So we're probably about, probably a little bit more here in terms of pure numbers, but it's basically two groups, two clusters. Give you some idea.
So how do you want to work them?
Well, if we want to just talk about these, why don't we talk about these in general, and then come down to a rating for the entire sheet without getting into the this policy, this program, this policy, this program. Now let's do it in a more general way, but maybe just have a little bit of discussion about what we're thinking.
Commissioner Jensen.
The rating in the middle, as I'm rereading this, it's how aggressive should Monroe's policy and program framework be regarding this strategy? So even if you chose the mild side, you might say, I want Monroe to be 10, very aggressive in keeping things status quo, or, you know, it could be quite the opposite. You'd like to see lots of changes on the maximum side, but it could take a very low priority, one or two, in aggressiveness of really making that happen. So it's a little bit different than, it's not 10 if you want to see things change, it's 10 if you want to, whatever you decided out here, you want to be aggressive in making that happen. So it's a little bit different in that middle.
Yeah, it's a good way to describe it. Mile number one is really a status quo. Medium number five is being fairly aggressive in promoting change, but the status quo is okay.
Well, if you like status quo, you still might go 10 to say be aggressive in keeping things status quo.
Right. Yeah. Or like Steve said, if you think there should be more efforts in the Freiland's toward creating jobs and stabilizing that district, then you may want to do more, which falls under the maximum, more effort, much more aggressive in terms of programs to make improvements, physical and program-wise.
Commissioner Steve.
So, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know how that amounts to that, because
that's the aggressiveness. Yeah, so that doesn't mean...
But it could be aggressive to status quo.
It could. That now is kind of missing, right, it's missing that piece. It's missing the...
The status quo is...
No.
Pretty much
no. No, that's not.
The mild.
No. They could have been status quo, but said, we don't want Monroe to spend a lot of effort making that happen. That's all these thoughts mean.
It's all about how aggressively we pursue this.
Pursue whichever field we have.
Pursue mild to max. How important is the Frylands?
I would think it would map to max is that you want to have maximum change, and minimum mild is that you want mild change. I know what you're saying based off of this, but I would think that this is maximum, this chart is maximum. So depending on where you...
I think that's an unfortunate thing in the terms they used when they laid this out to duplicate the same mild maximum. Rather, what they really should have said was tame or aggressive in that center one to try to stand out different. So if people felt that way, they might have treated this number differently than if people read it this way and put the number. So we need to
totally understand what you're saying, Commissioner Johnson. Yeah. It could be like that the other way, that you want to be aggressive and not changing anything.
I'll just call it.
I think this implies that if you're giving it a very high rating in terms of how aggressively we follow through on policies and programs, then you're giving it a high priority.
Right. But you know the way you're prioritizing. That doesn't list what the priority is.
No, it's not priority, but it's a sense of urgency, I guess, for which programs should be pursued. They could all have 9s and 10s, theoretically.
I don't know if this program should not be taken.
That's what I mean, too. But then, Commissioner Jensen, the way he brought it up, I suppose it could be read that way, too.
I was going to just point out,
it depends on how you look at it.
A simple example, the top line here is, on the mild policy, they say a possible framework policy would be maintain the quality of Lake Tyon associated trail and park facilities. Maintain what we have. Kind of the maximum side is let's make improvements to Lake Tyon nearby park facilities, you know, adjoining parks, whatever. So then you might say, well, I want to maintain what we have and I want to make sure we keep it. Mm-hmm. Or I want to maintain, but you know, it's really low priority.
Yeah.
But you're right, if other people read it the different way,
yeah, I think,
you know,
what I took from this is that if you think it's really important to pursue improvements, for the improvements of Lake Tyon, mm-hmm. that's aggressive.
Yeah.
If you like the status quo, if it's okay now in terms of changing or improving, then if you think it's good the way it is generally, then you're going to land
well down this pursuit.
That's
right.
I think that's the way
Commissioner Jensen gave that explanation away. Mm-hmm. Possibly, is it the obvious to be up there?
I think it's mostly the odd man.
I think.
Okay. Maybe you should use the third color on there for ours so that when you give it back to them, you can.
For tonight's exercise, we'll go with not your explanation.
But more just the overall.
Yeah.
Should we change things or not?
Yeah,
I feel.
Okay. Is everybody agreeable to that?
Yeah. Okay.
So can I just ask another question? Because I had a hard time with the exercise anyway. But so you're showing line one as the Frylands triangle.
Right.
Well, the Frylands triangle is we go all the way from the park to US 2 to trails to fairgrounds. How do you know which things the people we're looking at being aggressive or not aggressive about? Because just because you think we should be aggressive about the fairgrounds doesn't mean you think.
And that gets confusing because they weren't saying the fairgrounds and the airport is part of the triangle. What they're saying is, do you make efforts to connect to those neighboring regions?
So are we just talking about walking trails, basically?
Perhaps. Because the airport has its own page.
I'm just saying there's the lake, there's Valley General Hospital, there's this intersection. How do you don't have to feel the same way about all of those topics. Mm-hmm. So how are we mapping that?
Well, if you go through the entire exercise
right.
and you rate each policy and rate each program, then I think you come to some kind of feeling
you actually don't. You don't, because I did it, and you don't. I'm just saying. So as we may as well just start talking about it instead of discussing the procedure for another 20 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to let you take the lead on this, because I have no idea.
Don't let your wife find out this.
She thinks I'm
Well, generally the policies are talking about maintain the quality of lake tide, making better connections between industrial park and the residential to the south and to the fairgrounds to the north. Promoting some mixed use at 149th and 147th / 179th, which is existing policy basically. Access to Frylands from UST as a continuing policy. And basically supporting redevelopment within the park, which is ongoing. But when you get into the maximum, it's making improvements to Lake Tai and improving specifically continuity to the residential area to the south, which is a question. We now have good east-west connectivity along the south side of the park of the trail. Whether we want to, we do have at least a couple of points where people can actually walk in from the south. With stronger support for mixed use redevelopment at 179th, in tune with the hospital and so forth. And working with the county directly and actively to pull some connection and some synergy between the Frylands, the hospital area, the fairgrounds. So most, a lot of that has to do with potential improvements to Highway 2 on the fairground side and trying to get better connections for people coming from the south areas, South Highway 2, across to the fairgrounds. And the last policy on the maximum goes a little farther in saying we need to not allow so much retail or service commercial type uses in the industrial park. We should be promoting more primary employment uses. Right now there's quite a lot of space that's taken up by say retail outlets, big box for example, that have very few employees. It generates a lot of sales and it's a kind of an alternative somewhere like North Kelsey or downtown. But then the question becomes if we should continue allowing non-industrial, non-employment uses in the park. So that's kind of a, you know, a mild to maximum. There are some differences. And those policies translate directly to programs. On the mild side, we're basically just kind of monitoring and watching things as they go. There's really no real change. On the programs on the maximum side, it's actually calling for improvements, calling for projects, calling for actions to make those connections and provide a more of a requirement for employment for industrial uses in the industrial parks. And working directly with the county, similar to what's in the policy above, and talking about a Frylands Business Improvement District, whether that's some kind of a formal structured district or if it's a more of a association, I'll call it, within the Frylands. We've had, I think, three what we call Frylands Summit meetings out there with industrial park owners to listen to them tell us what they need to either stay here or to grow their business. The first meeting was the most successful one in terms of attendance, but the thing that we heard mostly was, or some of the comments were that no one had ever asked them before. No one had ever
approach them as a group to say, what do you need and what can we do to help you expand your business?
How many tenants came to the...
Personally, it was about 35 or 40.
35 or 40 businesses represented?
There was some double representation, you know, but I would say there's probably
25 businesses.
Second, third ones were much less attendance.
Was there any common theme that came out of that?
Pardon me?
Any common theme?
Yes, shortage of labor, skilled labor particularly, and resulting, and this was put on by Evergreen Community College, the city of Chamber.
What were they able to city to do about that?
To promote, just in terms of generally promoting terms of economic development, and there may be programs that the city can develop to help people expand their businesses, you know, get them lined up with SBA programs or start doing some more marketing in terms of economic development for specific kinds of industries. Evergreen College, the reaction there was setting up courses specific to the kind of thing they're looking for, like welding, for example, and or woodworking, that they now have, that they can actually get students trained to match with these industries. Canyon Creek Academy, for example, has a need for everything from sweeping the floor to the executive level. And so we're trying to set up via Evergreen a kind of a conduit of students directly to these kind of industries.
I guess I don't see where the city comes into play for me.
That comes into play not monetarily, but taking the charge in terms of perhaps setting up some kind of improvement district or actually devoting some effort to economic development programs.
Well, what are they wanting to improve? I only heard skilled labor.
So. Labor, access, space. The first objective of economic development is really to retain the existing business that you have. So if they're having issues with labor or not enough of space available for expansion, then those are things that...
Are we short on space in there?
For some businesses, yeah. White Noses has expanded, I don't know how many times, and I think they're almost at the end they're moving again, and I think that's going to be if they look for more space beyond that, they have to look somewhere else.
Okay, so what would the city do about that?
Basically, it's providing, part of it's providing information to maybe some cases through the chamber, information about what's available, having some information about the city. This is basic economic development stuff. So the natural factors, when they were first looking at Monroe, the city spent quite a bit of time with them promoting Monroe, giving them information of, you know, the demographics and available properties and that sort of thing, working with them one-on-one to get them the land here. Then on the implementation side, I think a big role of the city is in terms of streamlining the permit processing for industries that are coming to or that are wanting to expand, and we give them some priority in terms of processing their improvements for the project.
So do we not have information, we don't have those things available right now, or?
No, we don't have a good set of promotion information that promotes Monroe. If somebody comes to town looking for space for a...
But that's not just about Franklin's Triangle, that would be about the issue in the entire city.
Yeah, and say for the east end of the triangle, if we're trying to promote mixed use, if we can do some zoning regulations that accommodate that area for that, and we perhaps have some incentives. We do have infill incentives now for all the area South Highway 2, if we can do regulatory changes that make it more attractive for potential development projects, to a point. And we can do from the regulatory side or provide information, permitting processing.
So which bullet point?
Taking the lead on things like this Freiland Summit, you know, in getting these events put together.
Which bullet point is what we're talking about? What does that apply to?
In the description?
Yeah, the Freiland's triangle, the strategy stuff.
It's really not in the description. I'm really emphasizing the employment and the employment growth, which is not really part of the script. It's more the higher level in terms of connectivity and associated with the hospital, gateway functions. But what I'm really talking about is the functioning, the economic development of the employment base of that entire triangle, the industrial parks, the hospital, the medical area, and so forth. And really, mostly comes out of that lower right policy. I'm sorry, the last policy on the right side under the maximum of discouraging non-industry uses. But there are other.
Are you saying that the retail, the use of some of the space for retail is inhibiting the use of space for these other companies that are trying to expand?
Yes.
Okay, so that's causing problems? Do we have a place for someone like Big Box to go other than in the industrial park?
Depends on the rent, I guess. You know, North Kelsey has a pretty high rent. And a Big Box is probably not going to locate that size in North Kelsey. They're
right.
They're
so
in a light industrial area, most likely, if they can.
So if we're talking about that bottom policy, are we talking about prohibiting a store like Big Box from being in that area?
That's the question.
Well, is that what we're talking about, though, when we write,
yes,
we're saying that
potentially,
policy?
Potentially, yes. We've had schools out there. We've got one church at least.
Okay.
Fair amount of retail.
There's two big churches.
Yeah, there are.
Two. Okay. And they're there for the rent. It's lower rent more than anything.
So if those churches and Big Box and some of those non-industrial uses weren't there, it would help in retaining the businesses that are.
Demand continues to grow. Yes, it's a fine line between, you know, how you define uses. Retail now is allowed. Is it outright allowed in the industrial park? The question is, should we continue to allow it outright as a permitted use, or should we condition that somehow? Limit the number of retail uses, or the number of commercial uses. I'll just use the word commercial. The types of commercial uses that are allowed in the Freilands. Now we're getting into the weeds here.
Impacts if I feel strongly for or against making policies like that. So the weeds are part of it.
One thing I don't see, it might be another option if you're trying to get more space for industry, is raising the limit on the height of the buildings. You know, if someone wants to put a four-story office building, why can't they? Or why is that something we might have a policy to allow that, or a change in policy to allow that? Then you could have retail on the bottom and still have industry up above. But then they didn't even list anything here about that type of an example of how you might change the policy.
I think one thing we need to recognize is that if you just came from outside the world and came into the world, what you're looking at is the market's reaction to this town. Zoning there is because they can't spend 10, 15, 20 bucks a square foot on ground, over a square foot building, and keep the margins. So they go there. For instance, we talked about, obviously, out in Toronto, East Monroe. What is happening in the industrial area tells me that there is a demand for another place where you can put economical retail uses. And so we have to remember that everything we see is market-based. Right? People are reacting to cost, opportunity, labor, all those different things. And when we start going to the right side of this chart, we are potentially intervening as a public agency in what the market is doing. As a commercial appraiser that's been all over the place just because of what I do, I've seen some unmitigated disasters occur. It's not only local, but it's also national, where government agencies have gotten involved on the right side of this chart. And they've lost huge amounts of money. They've taken away land uses, scraped them off. There's been Supreme Court cases over and over. So if, as a commissioner, I would, in almost all these, you know, there's a few looked at in this, stay to the left, because if we interfere with the market, then we're stepping out of bounds. That's not what the city of Monroe is here to do. Facilitating the market working efficiently, I think that's a sound concept.
Okay. And I agree. And the only thing that's why I'm asking those questions, because I don't feel like we should prohibit a business like Big Box from being able to be where it can afford to be. And it's a benefit. Every space that's full is a benefit to our community. A problem I have is lumping in Lake Tye with this other part of it, because I just don't see a park as the same as...
I'll be frank about it. This is not good. When we first looked, it's just way too confusing, it's way too busy, it's asking way too many questions, way too many decisions, etc., etc. And as a result, there was just a plethora of confusion in that meeting over just what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. And I don't know that I could design something that would be more efficient necessarily or more to the point. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at six of these pages with 20 choices on each page, now you're asking people to make 120 decisions on things of import to the city.
And everything has questions to go with it.
Yeah.
Every item.
So it is, this is why comprehensive plans are this thick.
That's right.
They really, you know, and that's for a city of 15,000 people. You know, the comp plan for the city in New York, you probably could be lift the thing up, I would guess.
Commissioner Ryan?
Yes, I went through this thing and I found more than that. When I did it myself, more things we shouldn't be doing than we are doing. And I got a list of things. And things we shouldn't even be involved in right here, like school decisions. We should not be involved in that. We shouldn't be involved in the Fairground, county fairground decisions. It didn't do any good anyway. So we I found some things to do. It said somewhere in here on the first page, doing something about accessing the property west of Lake Tye. That is a real no-no. Some wetlands out there. That was one of the reasons we put the berm out there, with the road not accessible. So the county couldn't put a road right on the county.
of going off of what Commissioner Sherwood was saying about, yeah, in most cases we probably might cover more onto the mild side of things unless there's an area that isn't working.
Right.
And I think, in my mind, I think that's page 6 of this chart, covers downtown. Six kind of tried to lump Kelsey with downtown, which I think was a mistake, because they really are two different things. But if I were to look at downtown by itself, that is one area I would tend to lean towards the maximum side, because right now it's not working, it's failing. And it probably will take some drastic changes to, I don't know if we can say that we would fix it, but if we do nothing, it's not going to fix itself, unfortunately. It needs something different to try to steer it either differently or to give more encouragement to development or support there in some way. So that might be one way to think of it, just if an area is working, maybe we lean to mild and it's not working.
Is there an area in the Filings Triangle that's not working?
Well, the industrial park, within the industrial park itself, you know, there's underperforming properties. There's some properties that really, at some point, if the market comes on strong enough, can be redeveloped for more intense uses.
And is it taking a change from the city to make those decisions?
It's in terms of policy, I would say yes. In terms of setting forth in the comp plan that we do want to promote more intense development in the industrial park for employment. We want to promote more intense mixed use at the east end.
Well, can we make that a point that we talk about as a commission? And then, if the, like, are there other areas in that triangle that aren't working, or are things going pretty well? Because then we can move on to another area. But if specifically it's just the industrial park that's having some issues, then we need some more information on that.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to get a grasp on because it's not just the industrial park. That's the majority of it, obviously. It's it lake ties to the west, but that's kind of a standalone piece. But then the first, three-fourths of that area is related to the Frylands and the older industrial park. We get into the hospital area as another node of sorts where the question whether we should be promoting more intense development in that area.
Well, can we make that another question that we talked about?
See, I'm sorry.
Just that, can we have some bullet points on things that we need to talk about in that area specifically instead of trying to... It just seems really wishy-washy, and
you want some targeted discussion.
Yeah. Maybe, am I the only one?
No, I think personally, I think that's a great idea because I'm still not able to follow what exactly I'm trying to figure out what do they want from me on this paper. Okay. And this, to me, it's just kind of like all over the place. And the more I look at it, the more confused I get. So I'm not really trying. I'm from the engineering world where, you know, you have a certain set of things that you want to get to build this product or make this product.
Right.
And if I had this kind of information to try and guide me what the right product is to make, I would never get my job. I tend to agree with Commissioner Sherwin that this is really not as straightforward as it could be. So I try to look at it when I was at home and I got a headache and I said it back down.
I have a headache right now.
So if we could take each page, and then I think the idea of finding out what's not working is a good start. And if you could give us a little bit better idea of exactly what you would like us to do, to begin to have a team of people last Thursday doing the same thing, if there's something more that we can add, I'd be happy to contribute. But if we're just doing the same thing, we're trying to do the same thing that was done last Thursday, I'm pretty sure we're going to come up with close to the same thing that you already have. I don't know how much value that adds to it. So if you have something that you'd like to get on this page, just let us know. And I don't think handing in some paper with us scribbling X's and notes on here is going to help you much. That's my Commissioner Stanger.
Yeah, I would kind of maybe propose that we've already got some things right there. Maybe we take the things that are, you know, way far out. Things that are asking for drastic change. And at least, you know, talk about that. I don't know. Because I don't think we want to just discuss what's already been done. And we want to see if we agree with it or if we don't, or if it makes sense or if it doesn't. That would be my...
Commissioner?
It sounds to me like we need to do the entire legal address for the commissioner. Contact these people to come in and get businesses and industry going here in Monroe. Somebody who's very aggressive. I've seen it happen over the years before we had it.
Oh, yeah.
We had the city administrator here who was very aggressive and got us into all kinds of trouble. That was years ago. But Doug is still available.
Paul, can I ask you a question? Since, you know, they can, Jeff. Has it been more difficult for the city to respond to people who inquire, want to participate in Monroe, etc.? Because it sounded rather amorphous that, well, all these other people are going to share that job. And has it been more difficult with his departure?
Well, we haven't had anyone really devoted to economic development.
Exactly.
So yes, if your city is going to grow, we need to have a good front.
So let me ask this. If I came to the town and I said, you know, I would put a $5 million in your business and I employ 100 people, whatever the numbers might be, and you know, really like to look at the Monroe room, I like the affordability comparatively to housing, et cetera, et cetera. There isn't necessarily a point person like Jeff who can help you through the process at this point.
No, there's not a single point person. It depends on the inquiry. I was the point person when Natural Factors first started making inquiries. They did want to keep it fairly quiet. And then that eventually evolved into a full-blown effort from all the departments to provide information to those folks. But it really comes down to administration, like city administrator, and planning for the most part. That come in. Chamber's taking more of a role.
I think that's what they're hoping is going to happen, is the chamber's going to, if we can't afford an economic development director, that's kind of what I see going on lately, is we're putting that more on that chamber. I know that historically here there was the commercial club, which was what they
somebody will write all of this stuff. Because if the city is going to be interventionist to some extent, then it would be appropriate to hire someone to be who do that. And it's not on you, and it's not on Brad, it's not on the city administrator, Gene. You know, it's just a person like we had. Whether or not he was the right person, I don't know, but someone like that who could, I think if you had that person and they did a really good job, a lot of these questions, I think would be answered. At least you have a place you can go and be able to answer.
Commissioner Ronda?
Yes. The person, if you get a person like this, one thing you're going to find out is there's a lot of people, and it'll happen. He may be the best guy in the world, and he may be promoting products and the economic and everything, but there's going to be somebody out here that's going to come in here and fill this room up and say, I moved here 10 years ago, I don't want this to happen. And we're going to get somebody that can handle that kind of people. I've been asked so many times. It's like,
yeah.
When we develop files, it was a nightmare right here. And a few other places too.
Sign your Walmart name.
Well, I wanted to kind of expand on what you suggested then, given that we've sat here for an hour and haven't really given you any data or whatever. Let's go to each page, pick one thing, a couple minute discussion, and you glean from that if you think it should be make some changes or don't. And you can hand that back to these envisioned and well people. Obviously, on page one, I think it's going to be industrial park. And maybe we, you know, take some notes about that. We turn to page two, it's the airport. I'm sure we can make a quick discussion about, basically, do we keep the airport or do we try to get rid of the airport? Move on to page three, and we should be able to get through this before 9 o'clock, if we go about fast.
Okay, then let me ask a question of Paul. Paul, is that something that you would be open to get the answer? You came here tonight looking for us to give you something.
Nobody's sure exactly what that is.
Yeah. I'm still not sure if I understand how to give it to you or what to give it to you. If what is suggested here tonight is that?
I think so. You know, what we're trying to get out of all this collectively is a sense of direction on these policies and programs. Is Freiland's in need of a lot of attention? Is it important?
I don't feel like we know that.
You have to put a lot of energy into it. And it does
like, I don't know you have issues. I don't know that there's issues in the industrial park except that you just told me that. So, you know, I'm not an expert on all the different aspects of Monroe to be able to say, well, here's specifically what I think should go on in that triangle.
But the general consensus, from what I was hearing, just on this first page, it's all the trouble, as far as I know. This first page.
Well, there's a question about the...
It sounded to me like it's intended towards the mild side.
Very much so.
Very much so. That's just the feeling that I got.
Except for Lake Tai.
Except for Lake Tai.
Except
I don't know why Lake Tai is on here.
I don't either.
But
I don't want to prohibit activities in the park at all.
Yeah.
So
in that case, for example,
if any one of these policies says we can't have a wake park, a cable park on that lake, then I'm not in favor.
In that case, it would be a high rating specifically related to Lake Tai for making further improvements like the cable park. That really is a separate issue from the industrial park,
yeah.
A separate issue from, say, the East End and what
yeah.
we do with that. So,
well,
that's
a lot of, park question.
A lot of
yeah.
parts, moving parts to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that should be noted, and I agree that Lake Tai is except for like my assumption.
Maybe a general feeling.
Okay.
That's fine. And number one is pretty costly. Number two is unsimple either. But I think we can talk about number two from a high level.
Yeah. No pun intended.
I'm sorry, no pun intended. Yes.
Well, very good.
The best pun that you can think of before you say it.
Commissioner Sherwood.
When I wasn't involved in the initial North Kelsey, I knew it was going to happen. Raised a lot of property out there and so on and so forth. Then we see that the market confounded the best laid plans and ways of them. Because it doesn't look anything at all like what it was perceived to look like. The reason is the market said, you know, we're not going to put $5-10 million into all this infrastructure from which we will derive virtually no benefit.
So you're talking about the North Kelsey plan.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
What's happening now.
Yeah. So we have two big box stores and maybe more coming. I don't know. For the airport, last year, the year before, when we went through it, and a lot of people said, I mean, I thought that was a good process. But now, what is it, three buyers have come with them? Has it been?
There have been three serious inquiries.
Yeah.
Right. Including the original developer.
So that's a tremendous amount of information that all those people looked at and said, this ain't going to make it. And so when Leland comes along and says, you know, you might want to take a good, hard look at standing up for maintaining the airport, you can understand why that is. And I would say my opinion would be, let it go. The market has said let it go. And unless, if we say it's going to stay, then you go over the program side, it's going to be a lot of money. I mean, the city's going to have to come up with some serious dough. Someone's going. And the market says we ain't coming up with no dough. Three people looked and said, it ain't worth it. So I have to give Leland some fetch on this one, that you know, they were pretty perceptive in saying, maybe it's time to look at something else. Because I don't think Bill's made a dime on that joint in 30, 40 years.
Commissioner Rowland?
Yes. Also, I would look at it this way. I hate seeing an airport being turned down. But also, if rather than to lose it, I'd suggest maybe the city have find some way to purchase it for the city to maintain it. And the price would probably have to come down. But that would be the first, before changing anything, I would rather see us work that way.
I think I'd rather see the county buy it so the city doesn't have to go to the bill.
Commissioner Johnson, on the let it go side, if that is a policy approach that what we would take, it does also eliminate the airport overlay, which causes a number of restrictions from what I understand of what can happen around the airport. For example, my thoughts of would we consider allowing higher rise buildings in the industrial park? Maybe that's prohibited because of the airport overlay. So, and I know there's some talk about, well, if you get rid of the airport, maybe the hospital, do something to allow the hospital to have a helipad or keep a space at the airport that's just helicopter or something so you keep that airlift option. Just things to think about, but
it's good.
There certainly is an advantage if you get rid of the airport that overlay goes away as well. I'm glad you brought that up, Commissioner Johnson. That's a very good point. Commissioner Tuttle?
Yeah, to me, the airport comes down to a pros and cons list and a benefits factor. And a while ago when we talked about it, my question was, why would we try to protect something that doesn't want to be protected? And if it's not surviving it, it's not making it on its own. I agree. It's probably time to think about doing something different.
because we don't own it. It's not our property.
Right.
And if the owner decides, you know, that they want to sell it, and one of the ways that that person can sell the property, or maybe the only way, is to make it something other than your court, then, you know, I don't see how we can stand in the way of that. It's kind of like the reverse of the East Monroe thing.
Exactly.
So we're on the other side of that fence in this situation. So I think we should always keep that in mind as number one, it's somebody else's property. And we should allow that owner to be able to, if they need to, change the zoning or whatever so that it can be sold.
And maybe that would still be a policy. It might be on the maximum side, because that's a very different policy than keep it as an airport, a policy that says it has potential for other uses. Maybe that's all the policy says, is it has potential for other uses in the complex. So when they come along, they want to rezone it as commercial or industrial or housing, the comp plan agrees with that already, and they don't have to make a change.
How the discussion is going here.
Yeah. From one extreme to the other, the simple way to describe this strategy number two, First Air Field, is whether we try to promote it as a, keep promoting it as an airport, that waiting for someone to come along this way to expand the airport, lengthen the runway, perhaps build some other supporting facilities like the plan was back in 2012, and make it a more functional place that has more viability as an airport. The downside of that is that it would continue to restrict the ability to develop other properties. There's height limits, the bigger problem is the number of people that can occupy, say, where the block plant is, the southwest corner, two and five. There's only a limited number of people that could be in that place at one time because of the approach requirements. There are other properties, you know, there's pretty prime land potentially along Highway 2 that could be redeveloped. There's a potential land swap with the fairgrounds for landing area, parking versus some other area. It kind of comes down to how important is the airport to the community? You know, do we value that as an airport, or are there better options? You know, the owner I think he would prefer to see it come alive as a much more complete airport operation. But you know, the right buyer comes along, I think he would give it up.
But this has been Darrell's, I don't know if you call it talisman around his neck for quite a long time now. He's been trying to make this business an airport business, and he's struggling. He's struggling really hard, and I understand that. I don't see how somebody else coming in there, unless they have money coming out of their ears, is going to make it any different, you know, so, because it's going to be a very costly process to extend the runway, widen the runway, you know, do land swaps or whatever they have to do to get that mitigated. I don't see it happening for Darrell, not in the airport side of it anyway. Unless the airport has, I'd say. You still kind of remember it's Darrell's property.
Yeah, is there anything legally and contractually that keeps the airport from no longer being an airport that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. The airport overlay zone, which has all of the restrictions, is is voluntary, it's not required. The city did, you know, was proactive in adopting those back in, oh, I don't know how many years ago. The state has guidelines that passes down to the county and passes down to the city. And the city basically instituted those requirements based on state guidelines. But they're elective, you know, there's nothing that say that the city couldn't simply invalidate that whole airport overlay zone tomorrow. Now, I don't think it would be too smart with the airport still in operation. But I don't think, I don't know of anything that would require that the airport continue to function as an airport. But
today's strictly, it would be just strictly the zone regulations that are today that keeps it.
Well, we've had some possible discussion, about changing the designation of that airport area. Right now, it's limited open space airport, mm-hmm. specialized zone, or land use and right. zone, to something that's more general that might open the door to other possibilities should it be redeveloped as a non-airport okay. area. Mm-hmm.
But today, the restriction only is zoning, right?
Right, yeah. So the question becomes, do we, you know, like under the program, there's some things about the city facilitating a, like a sub-area study of a master plan for that area to see just what is feasible and doable for redevelopment, what the potentials are.
Okay.
Not funded, that's right.
Would that require a market study?
Yeah. March study combined with some kind of a work in the property to define just what's buildable and what is potentially can be mitigated. I mean, it's encumbered by critical areas. If you ignore the airport part of it, critical areas are a big issue.
Right. Commissioner Robin?
I have a question on the crack plant. Concrete block right area. There's a salmon creek right through the city. Is that would hinder any development of that property in the future?
I'm trying to remember how far the salmon. I don't have a clear picture of where the salmon, where the fish run through there. I'm thinking that it is along the highway, and it does go north across the highway up toward the bottom of the hill.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a restriction.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's a stream. It's one of the issues with how that property can be developed. It sounds like the general sense I'm getting is that there's some consensus that it may be smarter to consider redevelopment, perhaps bring that out as a possibility and set forth some basic policy that says we should really think about redevelopment here. Or the other extreme is preserve the airport. Right now, there's a lot of support in comp plan for First Airfield.
Right.
It's a high priority, and it's not like that. That's changing. We didn't have that many people. We only had three pairs, but a couple of them were more in favor of redevelopment. I'll say, you know, change, and there was what. One in the middle and a couple more that were less decisive and more toward the status quo.
Commissioner Tolles?
Well, who is affected? What would be the drawbacks of not keeping it as an airport?
It would affect people who use the airport. We're talking about, you know, private pilots who all came back in 2012 and spoke to us about supporting the rezone and expansion of the airport with that original development proposal. but it's really the airport users. There's no commercial use that is coming in and out of there at this point.
Are there a lot of users?
There used to be, before they got through them.
I don't know how many active pilots are out there now. Surely the economy's been a downside, but it's coming out.
There's nothing there like a pilot school or anything, is there?
They couldn't for some reason. They couldn't because of the...
No, you're saying they couldn't, so they couldn't
because
even...
Because of the length of the air.
Well, the way it's on now, the limited open space
airport
that was in there, it said they could have a school, flying school.
They had flying schools there.
Yeah.
They can or they can't?
They can.
Because they can't, I know they couldn't do, like, parachuting.
But they currently don't have anything like a school there, is that correct?
No, they don't.
We had a lot of discussion back in 2005 about what non-airport uses might be allowed versus airport-related uses. The last serious inquiry was from a contractor and a flight school owner that were going to bring a helicopter flight school to this airport, expand the airport, and relocate a helicopter training up here. But for whatever reason, that didn't get very far. Not sure why.
Well, and we were also, this airport's on the list of, if you rent an airplane, you can't land. There's like a blacklist for Americans. Mm-hmm. I was talking about that. You can't, unless you have a certain licensing or you're the owner of the plane, you can't land at this airport because it wasn't wide enough or long enough. Remember that?
For insurance purposes.
Yeah, there was just something. So there's a list of airports you can fly to if you're training, and ours is not.
Junkyard type atmosphere.
that we give Cadman Al Gordon Park, and they could mine it up and have another lake. Because it's going to fill up with salt wind.
Oh.
That'll go over like my 3 hour call.
Really, this is more about, the mileage is, it really is more status quo. We don't put a lot of energy into specific programs or improvements because it's kind of okay the way it is.
Except it's not. It's creepy.
People don't like talking about the whole corridor.
The fact you got a walk past it. You know, the junkyard or whatever it is to get to the park. Mm-hmm. So the connection isn't good.
But it's not the park that's on Lewis Street, it's the park on the back side, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Lewis Street says Al Borland Park. There's a sign
right.
that says this is
it's part of the park.
So,
right.
Yeah. But you're talking about the other entrance
that
you don't go to because it's tricky.
Yeah.
Well, even the police officers are going around by themselves at night.
But that's the part where they had to do frisbee golf.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So it would be nice if it was
not
really inviting for people to go down there.
So we want to see some maximum.
Some policy changes that might enhance.
Yeah. Well, maybe the other people that own the properties down there clean it up.
Well, we're hoping to redevelop it. They're almost like little Superfund sites.
Yeah,
you know, they're underutilized. They've got some environmental problems, but we're hoping that Fremont is going to trigger some more interest from the private side for development in there and redevelopment.
Yeah,
but it's going to take a much stronger market and feasibility to make it happen.
Housing Hope Project too. How many families are going in there?
I don't remember how many are there. There were some existing units there because they made it much, much larger. And it's a nice project.
Yeah, but if there's a lot of people that are trekking that direction, I think that was the point of putting the frisbee golf thing in there too, is to get more people to be around there.
Get more eyes on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is the people that I talked to, the guys that put that in, what they were saying is that they've observed that by getting more people into that area, the people that they don't want in there are tending not to go in there.
Yeah. So that's good.
So later in the night.
Right.
Would we need
lights down there?
But if the city was more active about getting that area cleaned up so it doesn't work so sleazy, I don't know what the city could do about it, but I think that would be on my maximum side is to make it inviting. Into that end of the park so they can enjoy it and find the
well, from a regulatory standpoint, how difficult would it be when they're in, at least, clean out some of the underbrush? Would that just be a nightmare trying to go in there because it's shoreline, it's critical area, et cetera, et cetera? Would it be difficult to go in there and clean some of the people that rush out?
It'd be a challenge in terms of regulations, and there's also the aspect of the steep slopes and erosion, that sort of thing. So we may have limited ability to physically open it up, but I think it's something worth pursuing, considering. I don't recall what classification Al Borland is in terms of shoreline regulations. Some are more some classifications have better ability to actually do improvements than others. I don't recall what it is. I know Cadman is under the Urban Conservancy, Urban Conservancy, which does allow some use as opposed to something that's totally natural. I don't know where Borland is in that.
But somehow we maintain the walking trails, so we should be able to get something in there.
It's just because the traffic. Vegetation. But
Because I take my grandson down there, and I feel like I need to have my 357 back in the case.
You did.
I just do.
My wife won't go there without me.
Yeah. And it's just, I agree. I think this way too. Absolutely.
And, you know, there may be means of making improvements.
Yeah, maybe the Parks Department has some ideas.
Yeah.
If we give them the authority to see what they can do.
Yeah, we should be aggressive in pursuing that.
The thing about Parks, you know, I was on Parks Board for quite a few years. And the biggest problem there is the funding and how it gets funded. Parks is kind of like that. Oh, yeah, we got Parks, let's throw a couple of bucks towards them. That's where they end up. It's harder for Parks to move on. And their emphasis has always been on, you know, where people go.
Well, maybe if there was a plan, we could come up with some funding from different business, you know, maybe we could do a sponsor of part of the park project, or there'd be community volunteers.
And I think Mike is, he's working on that plan along with everybody else to get that stuff in there. And I know he's working on that. This is the Sky Coney Connection. You might as well say that it's mostly Parks.
Yeah.
This is his building. This is what we're doing.
Right, right.
And if you want that underbrush, then you might just take some vigilantes with weed whackers.
Well, the thing is, you know, when they put in that frisbee golf, they were around the world, you know, but I'm just. Area was picked for the basket.
It's down there. It's these baskets.
So they went into the pool
on the backside.
You know, where all the brush was. That's where they put that.
It's cleaned it up. And it's a pretty minor.
Yeah. Very minor.
Cluttering.
It's not very invasive.
It'd be kind of carefully done so that didn't get out of hand.
Yeah. But the more people we can get down there, those facilities, I think the place you can see them.
Yeah, he's a festival down there.
Yeah, if it was a nice place to go, I'm sure you get to go on it. The city could do things down there for the downtown area, rather than everybody having to go like Ty, which takes everything away from the downtown. We have a place where people can go and have a nice time in the downtown area. That would help that side of it.
Well, I propose we hear from Mike Farrell about what he thinks would be some good action down there, and we can help support that.
Yeah. Commissioner Arnold?
As long as we're talking parks, I'll tell you what's happening. See that lake where Cabin is right now?
Yeah.
The Monroe Lions Club, the Monroe Rotary Club are getting together and are presenting it to the city. We haven't gotten to the city yet. We're talking about taking that and building that park. Lines in the road. That's right behind the ballpark, the Rory Club has now. And we're talking about doing the park with access to the lake and access to the river with an RV park together. The RV park would pay for the maintenance and the building of the park.
So if you got that RV dealership,
we don't want that.
No, but we have it in town, connection.
Well, right now, if you notice, when the kids play soccer, there's RVs down there, just loaded.
And it's a show?
No, shows, and then they had it just everywhere. And when I was on the work of the Chamber of Commerce, during the fairgrounds one year, I had people calling it cannabis. RV park at that time was not an hour, but it was private. We didn't have a place there. The fairgrounds has a parking lot, but it is full of concessionaires carrying a fair. So there's no place for any RVers to come. And with the river down there, and the fishing, and the ballparks,
be a piece of a policy, since it's part of Sky Coney Connection, sort of, would we encourage
some sort of, if it requires a certain kind of zoning, it would allow that type of a business in conjunction with a park.
See, Old Carver has a park in the road, and that park up there, the RV park, pays for all the city park buildings. I noticed in our group.
Commissioner Sherwood? I'm sorry.
One of the things we talked about at that meeting was providing connections from Maine down to where the trail is established. What I was thinking, Paul, is that maybe something we could put in here is try to find whatever possible public properties to go across. So for instance, the school site, the library site, etc. Because one of the things, who's the guy that was talking to us? What's his name?
Bill Brennan.
Bill.
Right.
Bill said is that trails are much more heavily used in favor when there's more ways to get to and from the trail.
That's right.
And I was thinking that instead of having to buy easements across private properties to get down there, just take advantage of all the public properties that we possibly can, to have some sort of public connection, just so we can get there without having to buy easements. Just a thought.
And parking lots.
You know, while I'm listening to this talk tonight, I don't want to toot any horns here, but I think it would have been nice to have those guys here just to listen to us discuss this. Because I think there's a lot of good information coming from this discussion. So I just hope it's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's very helpful. We'll end up doing some pretty good minutes on this and sharing it with the consultant.
Okay, good.
Are we good on this one?
Yes.
Yes. Are we good on Sky Corners?
I think so. So Fairgrounds is county.
Yeah, there hasn't been very much collaboration in the past. But there's a potential for that we're talking to each other more.
But this is more than anything about things really not so much within the fairgrounds, but outside the fairgrounds. They have a master plan that calls for some improvements, what they're trying to do is a number of things, or they have a pretty ambitious program for improving their facilities on the site, expanding the building and so forth, and expanding their animal program, like horses, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also talking about a potential trail along the north side of Highway 2 that would connect the frontage of the fairgrounds and establish some better means of coming across from the south side and then coming along Highway 2. Now it's just dangerous. It's just bad. And some kind of a sound walls within to help reduce some of the noise potentially. Marketing. They don't do much marketing now.
Is there anybody that's involved with the Rotary or whatever, has anybody ever thought about, you know, they're trying to get, I know they have the parade, I'm also going to jump around a little bit. We have the parade downtown for the fair, but has there been anybody trying to think of what's the incentive to get some of the fair people downtown to do shopping or looking around? Is there anybody ever tried to come up with some way of, as long as we have those people in town, to somehow get them to go downtown and do a little shopping or go downtown? Commissioner Rodney?
The only way I would do that is like the city of Wenatchee, with the bus system that they can run down there through this town, have a bus route from the fairgrounds during the fair, go around town.
Yeah.
Take people down there and bring people back.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to...
Your best bet might be through the hotels, because I'm thinking, if I was a vendor at the fair, I don't want the fair people, you know, the attendees coming to the fair, and then instead of, say, eating at my food stand, going out, getting on a bus and going and eating at McDonald's and then coming back to the fair. But if they're staying overnight, say at a hotel, then there's certainly more maybe opportunities to encourage people to go do other activities in town the next day or something.
Well, from my experience of eating at the fair, if you went to McDonald's, you get a lot better.
Yeah, but food vendors don't
want to. Eat better for you.
That's a good better for you.
Yeah. Commissioner Sherwood.
Well, I want to give this input, and I think it sounds like you may be moving in this direction. What the fair tends to, and I spoke about this at that meeting, they tend to internalize all their benefits, even inside their property rights. So they have an enormous impact on our infrastructure, sporadically, even then for a couple of weeks. Obviously, in the fair is there. And I think we need to continue to encourage them to externalize some of that benefit, because we have been paying for a lot of what gets people there around the state. But, and I think that so that they need to have a little broader vision and help us make it easier for people to get to them. And they've got away with everybody else doing it, and they just reap the benefits. And I think that needs to be an aim. That if you're going to be where you're at, because you have no choice, then you need to throw something in the pot based on the benefits you get from using our roads, utilities, whatever.
I think you're absolutely right, Commissioner Sherwood. The other thing is I don't see the county sheriff out there directing traffic. I see the road police out there directing traffic.
They get paid for it.
It doesn't matter. It is the stress on the city to provide all of that to the fairgrounds. So, yeah, I think Commissioner Sherwood's absolutely correct. The emphasis should be, how do we get fairgrounds to...
Is there anybody that attends, from the city attends, meetings of the fair board?
No, I don't know.
That might be the way to get it. Since they've hired the administrator to take care of that out there, they have shut off all the service organizations in Monroe. We used to be able to go out there and put up our thing up and assist in handing out material and wheelchairs and so forth. And they would let us have our booth out there, and now they've chopped that off.
I mean, we know Tom Tyler personally. He used to live in our neighborhood, and I think Tom was still calling the shots there, so maybe we just need to dial him up. Profitable or something. Say, you guys need to just broaden it out a little bit. By the way, by the airport.
Being a fair one says, the annual fair, which was, 10 days? And that's, sure, that is an event where most people who come to the fair stay within the fair. They spend a day. I'm not sure how many people stay overnight. They've got lots of data on numbers of people coming in the gate and so forth, and they've estimated about a $23 million economic impact from all the visitors that come. But a lot of that is money is spent in the fairgrounds. But all the other months of the year, there's always something going on at the fair, but I think there are a lot of cases where people will come to the, call it the swap meet or the horse show, and since it's not during the fair, there are a lot less services or food or things that are available in the ground. So those people, I think, are more likely to spend some money in the community, go downtown, or they go to North Kelsey, go to McDonald's, whatever it might be. But part of this exercise had to do with things like maybe opening up to get a better connection from the fairgrounds into North Kelsey to the east, and promoting the idea of a trail that would tie in with the fairgrounds and go through the US 2 bypass area, and look at the potential for maybe perhaps some kind of land swap, you know, where there's an awful lot of area that's devoted to parking that doesn't get used most of the time. It's just sitting there unused. If there's a way to take some advantage of that. I think part two is this. I think a part of the effort should be a little more with the city and the county talking to each other on a regular basis.
I think they did try at one time to put an ice rink. Temporary ice rink over in the parking lot. Fairgrounds, you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
There was a tent that couldn't stand there. Not through our men's.
Oh. Yeah, I can tell you what, number four here,
there was one group that Thursday night graded fairly high a week and a half ago, one in the center, and then the most recent from the park board, they were all toward this end. They would not be all that aggressive. I think part of that is on the perception and the reality that it really is an internally functioning entity, and there's not a lot of cross-pollination between the fairgrounds, the county, and the city.
You know what would be an interesting statistic to have is, what is the amount of members that attend the fairgrounds throughout the year that are non-Monroe citizens? You know, people from the city aspect is, what does the city get out of the fairgrounds?
Yeah.
You know, as far as, is that concerned? If there's residents, you know, of course, the residents are not, they're here going to spend more money here in the city anyway. But how much of the business that the fairgrounds gets is outside the city? I thought that might be a good thing to know.
I guess they could do that by just surveying license plates.
Yeah. I think most of the time, if you talk about like the car show or swap meets, I'd say most of those are going to be from outside.
I think that's mostly the case year round. Certainly during the fair, the majority are from outside of town.
Don't you already know for a fact that there's a whole bunch of guys come down from the mountains? Anyway, I'm just curious.
So, much more toward the least not aggressive,
right,
and mostly aggressive percentage. Okay, in this same neighborhood as these folks here.
This is
specifically that. And you were talking about the comments made about the school. This is specifically about trying to leverage something at that intersection under the assumption the school might do something and maybe other improvements along 179. Something down there on that corner.
Something the school may be doing, like what?
Like when the school gets their bond and rebuilds Parkway, has an opportunity maybe to do some city development, encourage other developments on the other side of the school along Main Street and along 179 that might help.
They're just going to build a school and focus on the school. I don't think they're going
to. No, but they're saying, should the city have some policies to try to leverage? Now you have a modern building here. Would you want to do something like leverage or encourage development of other things opposite the school? Or up 179?
I think you're kind of limited on what you can put next to the school anyway.
district is, in their bond issue, is looking toward up to $70 million to basically totally rebuild Park Place Middle School. Combination of some of the existing structure to be saved and renovated, some would be expanded, and be two-story. Concept here as to whether that investment, if it happens, if there should be a push for redevelopment at that intersection in that general area, so that it becomes a much higher activity area there.
Yeah.
Now, we're promoting infill and development mixed use all in that whole West Main Street corridor from downtown west to 522. Yeah. But question whether we need to be aggressive about the potential for development at in this specific area related to the middle school, related to redevelopment, picking up off of that energy from the school.
Okay.
Number five here, we're all over the board. Across
because
your
because it's ear. So unclear
yeah.
as to,
yeah.
I mean,
I think the part
we're calling
that's,
it a node.
I think the part that's really unclear is the decision I would have to make on this is the school where you get funding or not. If the school gets funding, that's one decision. If they don't get funding, that's another decision.
That's up to the school.
So, I don't know how to answer this
yeah.
personally because it's,
I think
it depends
this,
a lot on the, what the school's going to do.
First, I didn't see much between mild and maximum in reality for this because we have so much in place now for the West Main corridor that's going to be, you know, that's resulted in like the couple of the housing home projects that are coming along.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some other inquiries, one for some attached single family at one point. I'm not sure if anything's going to come of it. But we have regulations in place, and we have incentives in place, and we have the ability to entitle it for mixed use or multifamily or not single family detached, but for higher density residential and the mixed use. But you know, it's a long corridor, and Monroe can only absorb so much.
Right. Commissioner Tully,
yeah. The only thing I really think is valid in this whole idea here is the street design improvement. If they do make some changes to the school building, it would not hurt to try to figure out a better intersection option for after school and before school, because I don't know who drives there, but if you come down on Sunday night in the morning, you cannot make a left-hand turn. I've sat for three lights because it's either the buses, they get priority, or the crossing guards come out and they let the kids cross right there. Like, even if they move the crosswalk down into the middle of the street instead of out the crosswalk where people are trying to turn, yeah, like at Frank Wagner, it wouldn't hurt to reevaluate the walking situation.
Or a dedicated left arrow solves that problem
too. Oh, no, it doesn't. No, because the crossing guards still come out and stop you, even if it's your right of way.
Well, they may need to be cited.
But I mean, not something.
The police need to be there saying, no, you wait until
the
walk signal doesn't light up, they better not be out there.
They just make sure that the kids are safe, which is fine.
Yeah.
But there's a limited time to make turns. And since 179th is a main thoroughfare in Monroe, that's the only real part of it that I think the city and the school district could collaborate on.
I think it's a very good point. Commissioner Sherwood.
I could not speak more directly that this is just a waste, except for the traffic issues. There's no need for a road there. There's not enough room for a road there. If you wanted a real road there, you'd have to take some of the school property. I don't even know why this is over here.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what the vision was for a road anyway. You talk to the shopping center.
And you don't want a node that's going to encourage kids to leave the school campus to go buy lunch and then come back, or who knows what. So, if anything, it would mean we should have policy to try to terminate that node, make it just more housing or something.
Get, yeah.
So I assume that the city had some input, or the staff had some input on coming up with this idea, and not just the consultant. So what was the, what were you guys thinking when you were?
Came primarily from the consultant.
Okay.
And all of these actually came out of the workshops in the storefront studio. This was one of the areas that had some attention back in June. And this is really kind of to test it to see if it has any merit. And
I didn't honestly see merit in this project at all.
I think that the general reaction was, not so important.
I noticed down at the storefront thing, we had people come in there that were they had a wish list of their own, and it had absolutely nothing to do with us.
I think one part of this that I like is potential for the connection to the river from the south of the middle school as another entry point to that linear.
But I'm sure we're building on the parks thing.
Right.
Having access to the parks that a human can get to.
Maybe they're thinking a little area of commerce and then walking to the river, but I don't really.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't think the bus barn is going anywhere. I think they've looked at other possibilities, but the
bus barn.
Yeah. Probably pretty expensive.
Because right now, we can't even have the bus barn. They can do.
I think Monroe is the homeless district. We're looking at a combination bus barn somewhere, but. I think land was too expensive. Didn't go very far.
We're going to end it early.
Yes, we are.
I don't know if we can get home in 3 minutes. Somebody want to make a motion?
Well, I think the we have to do, isn't it past 10 or is it 9? It is
9. 10.
Okay, 10 counts.
Yes, 9. Yeah.
That's almost your motion, Jeff.
If I make a motion, it's going to be a adjourned.
Well, let's see what we're going to do. I'm Kelsey, Vital Downtown, Vital Kelsey.
If I'm not really simple, Kelsey, I think, is fine as is. Downtown needs a lot of attention.
Yeah. I think we made a statement early on that the things that are not working downtown.
Yeah.
More and more you're seeing buildings, these signs on them, which is not good. I agree on the downtown meeting.
That's the one I just looked like.
We should talk.
Thank you. Well, as far as downtown goes, I definitely think Kelsey and downtown should be two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
But downtown, really the only issues that anyone has been able to specify on is parking and current. And over the last several years, I've been to dream meetings, I've been to community group meetings and chamber meetings and meetings with the chamber director. Right now, they are in the process of addressing parking. There's a system going on between the chamber and the city, and they're going to see how that goes. So that's addressing the number one complaint. The other complaint about crime is if you look at police stats and stuff, the crime isn't bad. It's that some business owners don't like the kinds of people that may be frequenting walking on Main Street, and there's really nothing you can do about that. I know that the chamber has some plans for trying to unite the downtown businesses and the building owners and whatever, but I honestly feel that for the city's part, there's not much in the way of the role of the city. Businesses go out of business because they're not the right businesses for that area. I hate to say that, but there are some thriving businesses down there. Sam started down there and has moved 2 times since then and grown because he moved, but that wasn't because of downtown, that was because of her landlord. LA Fashion has been there, the bookstore has been there, you know, there are businesses there, there's a new music store there, it's not, I can't think of, honestly, a lot of things that the city should be doing.
Well, the city can make it easier for people to know about the fire department.
So signage and directional stuff, for sure.
And the parks thing, you know, we get the stuff handled, you know, getting people to and from our park and the river that could draw people in and help the downtown area. I think that's some of the biggest things we can do. Commissioner?
Something else I think that could help would be a higher density housing around the downtown to get people, a higher density population that just lives there.
And
they want to walk to the little corner shop or something. And so that would be a zoning change to encourage higher density housing and maybe more with the mixed use of, you know, commercial on the bottom floor and condos up above.
When we did the Main Street, you know, West Main, I think that was one of the things that we worked on in the downtown area, was, you know, going up rather than coming
in. I still favor my one-way loop, but that's a whole other discussion.
Well, and if there's some things that the city can do, which I also know the chamber is interested in working on, I feel like the downtown is a work in progress with the chamber right now, and they have some aggressive goals, but if there are some fee waivers or some sort of incentives that the city has control over for helping businesses get started there on that side of things, I would be aggressively in favor of that. But as far as appearance and business and stuff like that, it's not the city's, it's not the city's idea.
Commissioner, I think the sidewalks can be used a little bit.
Yeah.
Or things like that we can do. Make things anyway look a little bit nicer there.
Yeah, the trash cans and
there's small things that can be done. There's big thing. The Fremont is a big project that's finished. We're looking at a roundabout at the west end of Main.
I'm against the roundabout.
Main at Fremont.
Are you against the construction of the roundabout?
No, I'm against the fact that it funnels more traffic trying to get across Lewis Street with no solution to get it across Lewis Street. You're going to make a total traffic nightmare by adding a roundabout that doesn't solve a problem. It makes a new problem.
I don't agree with that.
Different levels of public investment.
I just don't like the construction of
it. I don't think we need to get into the details at this point, but as far as the downtown area, that should be, I think,
and signage.
I'd be leaning towards the maximum and the scale on the downtown area. Kelsey, I agree. That's a separate thing.
And it seems to be doing pretty well, isn't it?
I mean, that's
if they can take it up, it might happen. Yeah. Okay. I agree.
Do you have any?
All right, good.
Question or more clarity?
I don't think so. I get a full general feel.
And I appreciate Carly giving us a little bit of leeway on going down. I think he's not going to go this way.
Yeah, he's been a very good discussion.
I'm trying to fill out this form.
It's not easy.
You just get more questions.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think a big part of the problem is that we're mixing, like, Kelsey and downtown. They really are two distinctly different things. I mean, they are related, obviously. Fullerton being a vital downtown and a vital Kelsey. But they're going to get there in different ways.
I think they're related only to the fact that this stuff is a commercial area of those two. But that's the only thing that ties them together is that they're commercial.
Not much cross connection.
Right. Okay. I'm going to
discussion by commissioners and staff.
Maybe there's a couple things. Walmart seems to be on track for their December 3rd opening. They've had the blessing of good weather for a lot of the site work. There is a Carl's Jr. that is looking at occupying that pad at the southwest corner of the Walmart property.
Well, my wife won't go there. They're at.
Yeah, my wife won't go there anymore.
Why can't it have been Wendy's?
You think I'm going to be divorced?
Or Harvey's?
Wendy's is a possibility somewhere else.
That's on TV. Why not? Oh, just Harvey is on social media.
I want a real restaurant. I'm not another.
Yeah, that's my restaurant.
Yeah.
More teriyaki and more burgers. That's what we need.
And more subways.
Yeah. What else? Consultants for Holzerland for the rezone. They just a few days ago submitted plans for a subdivision and a PRD for the property. Good. That'll be following a separate track from the rezone.
Oh. But, is that parallel?
Parallel.
A little bit out of.
But separate.
Yeah, okay.
Right. If it had come in as a combination rezone and subdivision, then that would have actually gone, both would have gone to the hearing examiner as the higher authority,
mm-hmm.
since he actually makes decisions as well as recommendations. But now we're on separate tracks. And, of course, he processed the rezone as going to council.
Because if I remember, wasn't the question brought up with why wasn't this a PRD in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's right.
I asked that.
So
I think, okay, Commissioner
Tuttle asked. Yeah. Okay. East Monroe comes back to council on December 9th for the final decision of whether to drop it or go ahead. At the last meeting last week, the direction seemed to be 4-3 in terms of moving forward, but they were not able to take action at that meeting. It was not on the agenda for action.
But since their current standing orders are the opposite, could that still move forward?
Well, they would, if they decide to move forward, the first thing they would have to do is to vote to rescind the previously adopted motion.
Right, but if they, until they do that, couldn't the lawyer and the city staff proceed in making that notice?
No, we're past that.
So
the first thing that has to happen is that if they move to go ahead, the first step is to ask the board for an extension. And that's, not sure how they're going to respond to that. For an extension until next fall, you know, 7 or 8 months. And we're asking for that extension pretty late in the process, but that's going to be critical to being able to finish the project.
Anything else, Paul? Commissioner Jensen, Commissioner Tuttle, Commissioner Hudson, Commissioner Sanger, Commissioner Sherwood.
Just quickly, is that what you're going on with the dump?
No, I've not heard anything. Okay. It's out there. The direction is to put it out there on the market, and there's really no purchase cost, but the cost is to you developer mitigate it so that it can be developed, make it build ready.
Gonna have to log in, maybe. Jeez, I give it.
But I've been reading for some time.
Okay, now I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Who said I could do it?
We have a motion by Commissioner Rodman to adjourn, seconded by Commissioner Stanger. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
All right.
Thank you.
All right. You know, we don't
have a